now 12:32. We are back on the record for OPAPA 14-011 and 012.
Thank you. Morico has protested and appealed the GSA's determination to allow Triple J to modify its bid submittal after bid opening to supply drawings and seating plans that were required by the IFB. GSA, of course, rejected Triple J's bid for failing to provide the drawings and seating plans that were mandated by the IFB. The GSA argues that this was a minor informality. But two GAR section 3109N3, it governs product acceptability and provides that when an IFB requires the submission of descriptive literature and a bidder fails to provide that, the bid shall be rejected as non-responsive. So that's a very precise regulatory provision, and you cannot override that by section 3109M4B governing minor informalities. You have a specific regulation that provides if descriptive literature is required and it's not provided, it shall be rejected as non-responsive. And the OPA has ruled on this issue in the past, on whether the failure to provide something in an IFB can be corrected as a minor informality. There was the appeal of Guam Publications in OPA 08-007, and the OPA held that the failure to submit a statement of qualifications was a material omission that could not be corrected as a minor informality. And that same ruling was issued by the OPA in the appeal of Pacific Data Systems in OPA 10-005. In this case, in this procurement, Morico demonstrated what it provided in terms of descriptive literature. And it provided specs produced by Thomas Built Buses to comply with this procurement, by which the GSA and DPW can go through every element and verify what is provided. Those specifications were not provided by Triple J. I mean, and that's apart from the seating plan that they did not provide. The one-page seating plan they did provide is still deficient in several respects, as Mr. Morrison testified. So Triple J's bid was non-responsive at bid opening, and GSA correctly rejected it as non-responsive. But when Triple J took an appeal to the OPA within a week, GSA kind of folded and turned around and entered into a settlement agreement with Triple J. Morico learned about the settlement agreement when Mr. Nishihara called Torgan Smith. And that really wasn't a straight-up conversation. Mr. Smith was not told that there was already an accepted settlement agreement. Fred Nishihara had spoken to Matt Cain, Triple J's counsel, on the morning of November 7, Friday, made a settlement offer. 12:30 that day, Mr. Cain accepts the settlement offer. And then at 1:30, Mr. Nishihara calls Torgan. And one, Torgan didn't realize there was already a settlement agreement agreed to. He did not know that they were at that time reducing it to writing and that it would be filed with the OPA at sometime after 4 o'clock that afternoon. And while the settlement agreement purported to provide Morico with some buses, it was an illusion. As Fred told Torgan, Fred Nishihara told Torgan Smith, the buses still had to comply with the exterior rivet specification. GSA had already rejected Morco's bid on the exterior rivet specification. So clearly, Morco was not going to be allowed to deliver one of these buses to GSA and DPW. So I'm not even sure what the purpose of calling Mr. Smith was. He thought they were going to negotiate a settlement agreement. Well, they weren't. And the only agreement on the table would have excluded Morco anyway. Now, the OPA clearly has jurisdiction over procurement disputes. And a settlement agreement in and of itself means nothing. All the settlement agreement in this case shows that the GSA was intending to award a contract to Triple J. And the OPA has asked about the authority of GSA to settle and resolve disputes under 5 GCA 5425B, which in fact provides GSA with the authority to resolve procurement disputes. Now, in this case, the parties did not resolve Triple J's protest under that provision. Instead of resolving it, GSA issued a decision denying the protest under Section 5425 sub C. Setting that aside, the authority of GSA to negotiate a settlement with a protester is set forth at Section 5425B. But the OPA's jurisdiction that's set forth at 5 GCA Section 5703 provides that notwithstanding 5425, the OPA has jurisdiction over anything properly submitted. And we all know what notwithstanding means when the legislature uses notwithstanding, because it uses notwithstanding all the time. It will pass a law saying, notwithstanding any other law, this is the law now. So it's the same thing that the legislature did with the OPA's jurisdiction of 5703. Therefore, the GSA cannot enter into settlement agreements that are immune from review by the GSA. Now, the GSA can still settle disputes, procurement disputes. And I've settled procurement disputes with GSA and with other agencies. And a settlement agreement is perfectly fine as long as no other bidder protests it. But if a settlement agreement violates the procurement code, and another bidder protests that violation, the OPA has jurisdiction to hear it. And the settlement agreement in this case violated the procurement code because Triple J's bid was not responsive at bid opening. And it was not a minor informality that they could correct after bid opening. And even if it was a minor informality, there is no document in the procurement record by which the chief procurement officer made a written determination to allow the late modification of Triple J's bid. And 2 GAR Section 3109K2, which discusses late modification, provides that a modification can be allowed if it's made before award, and if the modification would have been timely but for the action or inaction of territorial personnel engaged in the procurement activity. So not only there wasn't a written determination to allow the correction of a minor informality, and there's no evidence that the failure of Triple J to supply this mandatory drawing and seating plan occurred because of the action or inaction of any territorial personnel. Now, Morco protested timely the settlement agreement and the intent of GSA to award a contract to Triple J. Morco learned of the Triple J appeal on October 31st. I believe the Triple J appeal was filed on October 29th. A week later, on November 7th, they resolved it through this settlement agreement, and Morico immediately protested that, and they also entered their appearance in the Triple J OPA appeal on that day, on November 10th. And the GSA has argued that Morico is not an interested party in this proceeding, and I hope we've demonstrated that Morico offers a competitive product, and that on any rebid, Morico will be competitive, and Morico stands a good chance of winning an award of any rebid bus contract. And the only thing that has held back an award to Morico is this exterior rivet specification, and we've heard from Mr. Thornburg of Thomas Built Buses. The bus that Morico is offering is a new product. It's the C2 model. They've never offered this to the government of Guam previously. They've never sold it to the government of Guam previously. As the manufacturing process is different. And while Mr. Gillen testified that he had some concerns with screws rusting on prior Thomas Built buses, I think he referenced a time period of 2004-2005. Now, the idea is with those screws that if you notice corrosion, you can screw them out and replace them. Now, Mr. Gillen said they had some that, and I can't say exactly how he said this, but they were so corroded that maybe you had to chop them off or drill them off or something like that. And that's a maintenance issue. I mean, you have to attend to your products. You can do visual inspection of your buses. If you see a screw corroding, you can replace it. Now, Mr. Gillen also stated that back in the 2005 and prior time period, they weren't even asking for anti-corrosive screws or anti-corrosive rivets. And, you know, technology moves on, and it moves on quickly. And Mr. Thornburg testified to that this morning. You know, there's new metals that get developed, and these metals have anti-corrosive properties, and it really doesn't matter if it's a rivet or a screw. They're made with the same anti-corrosive technology. But with the Thomas Built buses, as Mr. Thornburg testified, they meet the joint strength requirements of the Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standards. And in fact, today with the C2 bus, the rivets and the screws that are used don't have a substantive component. They don't have a structural component. They're used now just to place the exterior parts in position while the bonding is set. But still, they use screws, for example. Mr. Thornburg testified about the skirt at the bottom of the bus that takes most of the damage from vehicle collisions, and that has screws where you can change out a skirt very easily, or more easily. And Mr. Gillen testified that his real concern with the rivets or the screws is the safety. And in that, with respect to that, he meant you don't want the panels separating. And what Mr. Thornburg was able to demonstrate is that with the bonding technology, there is just far superior joint strength with the bonding than they could ever have previously achieved using screws, rivets, or screws and rivets. And that's not to say that Bluebird has to start producing its buses with this bonding technology. I'm not aware that they have. But they have used all rivets on their buses in the past, and that's clear from Mr. Gillen's testimony. Morico, as we sit here, we aren't sure whether they still do that. We see Bluebird buses with screws being used. But even if Bluebird uses all rivets or a combination of rivets and screws, its buses themselves still meet those federal motor vehicle safety standards for joint strength. Thomas Built's joint strength is much better. But that doesn't mean that Bluebird can't bid on this procurement. They still meet the federal motor vehicle safety standards. Morico did not immediately protest its rejection on the basis of this exterior rivet specification. Protesting is litigation. It leads to litigation before the OPA. It can lead to litigation in the courts. It is more beneficial for a vendor to try to work with an agency on specification development. And that's what Morico did in this case. And it supplied letters to GSA and DPW about the technology that is currently being used by Thomas Built to produce their buses and why the rivet specification does not have a substantive component. It is not necessary for the needs of the territory to have exterior components assembled only with rivets. And the reason that Morico did that is because GSA told them they were going to rebid the procurement. And then they changed their mind. And I've argued that the GSA should be equitably stopped to argue that Morico cannot protest this rivet specification. Now, one thing I have difficulty with is researching OPA decisions. There are now quite a few of them, I think, since the OPA assumed jurisdiction over procurement back in around 2006. And I can't say whether the OPA has adopted an equitable tolling doctrine. But in my last brief with the OPA, I showed how the Supreme Court of Guam has acknowledged equitable tolling. And since GSA, apparently they changed their mind. They had rejected the Triple J bid for, as being non-responsive. They were correct. Morico relied on that, tried to work on the spec development, and then GSA changed its mind and said, we're going to award a contract to Triple J. Given that, I believe Morico should be allowed the opportunity to not only protest an award to Triple J, but to protest its rejection on the rivet specification and prove, as it has done here today, that the rivet specification is not necessary to meet the needs of the territory and that the Thomas Built Bus C2 model with its bonding technology absolutely meets the needs of the territory. And for that reason, Morico should actually be awarded a contract in this procurement. But the bottom line is that Morico is an interested party and it offers a competitive product, and on any rebid, Morico stands a very good chance to win this procurement. And with only two bidders, it's 50-50 anyway. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The IFB in this school bus procurement was drafted based on DPW's experience with its current fleet of buses, which include Bluebirds and Thomas Built buses. So based on their experience and what they've seen on their current fleet, they drafted specs and that requested for anti-corrosive rivets. And they did that primarily for safety purposes, again, based on their experience with their current fleet. Now, Morico's bid did not meet that specification and therefore was rejected. And Morico didn't protest its GSA's rejection of its bid back then when it received notice in September. Therefore, it's untimely. Morico is saying that they have a better product because they use a combination of screws, rivets, and bonding, primarily bonding or adhesive. And that may be, but that's not what was asked for in this bid specification. And maybe for a future bid request, DPW will consider this new product if it's not proprietary. But again, at this current bid didn't ask for anything other than all anti-corrosive ribbons. Triple J was also rejected at this round of bids because they omitted the drawings and seating plans which were requested in the bid. They protested that determination, and it's not GSA that's arguing that their Triple J's omission was a minor formality. That was Triple J's position in its protest, that it was that their omission was just a minor formality. But in the best interest of the territory and to resolve these protests, which GSA is authorized to do by statute, they agreed to allow Triple J to submit their drawing so that it can be evaluated to determine whether it meets the specs. GSA has not done that yet. We don't know if it meets the specs. Morocco is saying it's deficient, but GSA hasn't determined whether it's deficient. They haven't done the evaluation. And really that's what GSA is asking that we do, so that we not delay this procurement any further, that they at least be allowed to go ahead and meet the conditions of the settlement and evaluate Triple J's specs to determine whether they meet the IFB requirements. And if they don't meet the IFB requirements, what the settlement provides is that it will be canceled and it will be rebid. The settlement agreement was entered into, you heard DPW say that we need these buses, and so that was the reason why the settlement was entered into. They didn't want to delay the procurement of buses, neither GSA or Triple J. And so based on GSA's authority, again, to resolve protests, they agreed to allow Triple J to submit what Triple J claims was just a mere oversight. And GSA is not saying that they will award Triple J. They still need to evaluate Triple J's bid. Again, as we heard earlier from Todd Gillum, that we directly need these buses, and so we ask that based on GSA's authority to settle, that we proceed with the settlement and not delay this procurement any further. However, again, if the OPA finds otherwise and feels that it can set aside the settlement, even though it was done in good faith, that they cancel this procurement and allow GSA to rebid. Morocco says it's an interested party because it can compete in future procurement, but we can't say that they're an interested party in this case because they were rejected when their bid was initially evaluated. In this procurement itself, they don't have a reasonable prospect of obtaining an award absent the settlement agreement, which says that they could get the buses if Triple J's bid meets the specs. But not in this procurement. I wouldn't say that they are an interested party based on the definition in the statute. So again, for these reasons and to assist us in getting our buses in a reasonable time, if not at the beginning of the school year because of the time now, but sometime in the maybe not at the start of the school year, but at least in the beginning of the school year so that we can have the buses ready to roll for our school children. And really that's what GSA and the government of Guam is asking OPA to find. Pardon, Fish?
No, you used to have a question.
Yes, at the end, has GSA, because I was puzzled by that statement earlier, and I meant to ask that earlier, and I completely forgot. I apologize. But you had stated earlier that GSA has not yet made an evaluation whether or not the specifications that Triple J is going to submit, or have they already submitted it to GSA?
They have not submitted it to GSA. So GSA has not received it nor evaluated the specs from Triple J.
But you made a statement, in the event that it is found not to meet, in the event, and again, that's the hypothetical, in the event, then what is GSA's plan?
According to the settlement agreement, if Triple J's bid does not meet the specifications, then they'll cancel the procurement and rebid.
And rebid. And then?
And that's pursuant to the terms of the settlement agreement.
Okay, I need to go back and relook at that. Okay, so that's your intent. But as of this point, you have not requested of Triple J to submit the specifications.
No, because there's a stay based on this current OTAS that we have not requested for the specs.
But again, just to repeat what you said, in the event that it's found not to meet, then it is the intent of GSA to
cancel. According to the settlement agreement, the procurement will be canceled and rebid.
All right, thank you. I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
And so that's why we ask that that GSA be given the opportunity to execute the settlement agreement so that this procurement will no longer be delayed. And to go with that they deny Morco's protests.
Okay. Just a follow-up question. Did Triple J submit the literature that was missing? The literature?
No, because that was it's the seating plan, which needs to be evaluated.
So are you saying that the seating plan was never submitted to GSA?
Not at the beginning, and not, even though that we've agreed to settle to allow them to submit the seating plan, it's been stayed because of this protest. So we have not actually gone through or executed the settlement agreement.
So the one-page seating plan that was testified to earlier,
we have not officially received anything from Triple J, so we can't even say if that's what they're submitting. I don't know what that is that they reviewed.
Okay. Thank you.
May I be heard on the last point?
Yes.
Triple J submitted its one-page seat plan with its protest and with its appeal in 14-009. I mean, I'm looking at it right here. That's why Mr. Morrison reviewed it and why he was able to testify to it. So what I'm holding is Triple J's notice of appeal, and about halfway through is where, well, three-quarters of the way through is where you find their seat plan. And they had submitted that also with their protest to the GSA. So GSA does have that seat plan, but that's all they have.
Okay.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you.
Now, 1:01 p.m., we are off the record for this appeal.